different items or several different things that happened in my life since I've been a Christian. And I thought I would just share that with you, maybe go off on some more rabbit trails today. Amen. Amen. Yes. So I just kicked it around while I was waiting for the Lord to show me what I was going to be preaching on. And I said, well, God, there's many different ways we can go at this. Is it your will to heal? Well, we know that it is. Because in Matthew chapter 8, in verses 1 through 4, it basically states about the leper that came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.
Amen.
And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. You be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I said, yes, Lord, I know it's your will. It is your will to heal. And we have different examples of healing. We have promises. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is one of those precious promises of that He came to take away our griefs or sicknesses, to take away our diseases and pains. And we have examples in the New Testament of different types of healing. Matthew 18, verse 18 through 20, where two or three agree as touching anything that it shall be done unto them. That's another example. And I want to give you, I smell the lettuce and the carrots. Uh-oh. I want to tell you about a story about Johnny. I'm a young Christian man. This is probably about a year after I was saved, maybe 2 years. Just knew just a little bit, enough of the Bible. But I want to tie this in with Catholicism. Because I come from a Catholic background. And Johnny came from Catholic background. And we had talked. We were fellow in employees at this company. And when we've talked about that, we talked about Christianity in general. And he came up to me one day and he said, man, I feel bad. I think I'm coming down with the flu. And this is the Spirit. The Spirit came on me, and I just got to thinking. And I did not even know what I was going to say, but it just came out. I said, well, don't you believe that Jesus heals in the Bible? Doesn't he say that he healed? Yes, it does. And doesn't it say that he heals even today? Don't you believe he heals today? And he said, yes, I do. I believe he heals today. And I said, you believe in miracles? He said, yes. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. I never touched him or nothing. And he looked at me with a blank look on his face. Then he smiled. Then he turned away, went back to work. And he came back about 30 minutes later with a big old grin on his face. And he said, brother, I'm healed. God touched me. I know he did. I was working, and the next thing, the pain in my body left. It was gone. And I said, and so we rejoiced. We got together, and we just had a good old time. At break time, that is. So, yes. I just wanted to share that part with you. That just really, that came to my memory. That was so many years ago. I'm not going to tell you what year it was. Oh, I will. It's probably 77. That's what I think. Can we discover the limits of healing? And why are some healed and some not? This has been a question to me. We have faith preachers out there that are saying, you got to have the faith. If you got the faith, you get the word in you, you're going to be healed. And I believe in healing. I believe healing is for everyone. And I believe to a certain extent we don't know what happens behind closed doors when people go home. We don't know. But I know from my personal experience that the healing doesn't always take place when we would like for it to. And I look at that and I say, God, I don't understand that. And people look down on others that don't get their healing, Lord. Why is that? And I say, and God told me, I don't want you to judge. I don't want you to judge anybody just because they don't have healing. That doesn't mean I've turned my back on them. And that you need to continue to walk in love, not be judgmental. To say that you don't have faith is a fallacy. Faith is important. Faith works, though, by love. If you don't have the love, then your faith is going to be in vain. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that. If you have faith to move mountains, what good is that? If you don't have love mixed in with it, you're not going nowhere in the kingdom of God. Love will even... I got written here, love will stand at the last, and it will. It will be the most important thing. I don't think we're going to need faith so much when we're up there. I don't think we're going to need hope when we get up there. I don't think it's going to be that important. But what the Lord showed me this morning, I've suffered in my body this week, and I'm going to confess it. Because it happened. But I stood my ground. I stood in faith. And I wasn't going to let nothing stop me. And of what the Lord wanted to say. At 4 o'clock this morning, I finally got up. I could not sleep. I was been praying and seeking God. And God gave me something. And I said, I got to get up. I got to go write it down. If I don't, I'm going to forget it. And so basically what the Lord told me was that faith is like a sculptor that chisels at hard, cold stone. In your mind, you may have a vision of what you're going after. And faith, it chisels, it chisels, it chisels. And then when there's time when your faith it gets weak, it gets wavered, that's where hope comes in. Hope sometimes is the lifeline. It'll keep you from falling away, keep you from leaving what God has put inside your heart. Just remember, faith is one chip at a time. It's not an instant microwavable. It's here. God never meant for us to live that way. And I don't think the Apostle Paul ever insisted, thank you, Lord, insisted on that we would walk completely by faith and everything would be so quick. I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, the things he went through. I think about when the Lord told him to go to him into Macedonia. And then what happened to them in Philippi. They got thrown into jail. And there they are. They're in shackles, been beaten. And what do they do at midnight? At the midnight hour of their life, they start praising God. They start giving Him thanks. And the prisoners could hear it. And that reminds me of a story what Brother Hagin used to tell about... But this man was so reverent to God, he would not praise God out loud anywhere. He believed, you're supposed to be quiet about that. Do it inside yourself. And then on his deathbed, he actually got to see the other side and he started worshiping God and start calling out and thanking Him and praising Him. Because he saw there's more to that life that should be manifested in this life. Amen.
That's right. Come on.
Praise God. Praise God. I just... want to comment we talked about love being so very important, and it is. And forgiveness is too. I believe forgiveness walks hand in hand with faith and with love. If we do not walk in forgiveness, if we have offenses against any, we will have cracks in our armor. As Perry Stone, he just recently wrote a book entitled that, and that statement, I can see it's very important. It's very important in the Christian's walk that we know where God is leading us, not only where He's leading us, but where when we're standing. There's so many times in our lives where we have to stand, and the standing seems so long. And it's so important that we have that armor, and that there's no cracks, no cracks in it. That the shield of faith is bright and shining and glistening in the light, because it's reflecting the light of God. And Satan can't stand looking at that shield. He throws those darts. He hits the shield. He can't even hit us. And we have on the helmet of salvation, where he can't just come and try to put a bird's nest in our hair. He can't do it.
That's right.
Because we're grounded in the Word. And it's so important, all the breastplate of righteousness, of knowing of who you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That is so very important. And having your loins girded about with truth, knowing the Word. And of course, confession. Confession is something that's very important. And I believe when it comes to healing, no matter what your circumstances, how you feel, that's what needs to come out, is the Word of God,
right?
Not what you feel. It needs to be the Word that comes out. What does God say about your situation? What's the promises God has given you? What has the Holy Spirit said? This is for you. Take it and use it. Praise God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. If you want to turn there. I got to reading this last part and I just saw so much stuff. I said, man, I could preach on this. This chapter, I see 3-4 sermons right here. But Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. In the King James, it says speaking to yourselves. And I think that's very important, because it starts in your house. It starts in your private time with God. If you look at other translations, it says speaking to each other. And we need that too. We need both. And I like the way that the Weymouth, is that how you say it? Translation. He says, verse 18, do not overindulge in wine, a thing in which excess is so easy, but drink deeply of the Spirit.
Amen. That's good.
And then verses 22 through 33 speaks of marriage, which is an example of the church. In verse 27, 30, and 32 of the City of God, New Jerusalem, Revelation 21. What the Lord showed me about that is, I believe healing is a composite of not what we can do on our own. It's what we as a body of Christ are called for. There are people out there that have needs. And those needs, in some cases, will never be met unless we go and meet that need. There are people that are crying out because of things lacking inside their lives, inside their heart, or things that they don't know. And if we're not sensitive to the Spirit, to what the Spirit has to say to them, then they will never receive in some cases. We want to grow as a church, and I want to see that. I want to see that we come together like this. Not that I'm more holier than you, or that I love more than you do. No. We're all equal. We all got a part in this. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. We're the body. We're to be in unity. We're to be in harmony. And I believe when we have that unity, when we have that harmony, that healing will start coming forth more. We'll start seeing limbs grow. We'll see brokenness in people will be healed. Yes. We'll see a right spirit be put back into the people as it needs to be. And I want to give you another example of Thanksgiving. Before I do, I want to quote, let's see, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says, be anxious for nothing, or in nothing be anxious. That is such a weapon that the enemy uses against his people. I mean against God's people. Is putting stress on you, putting anxious thoughts in your mind, trying to get you to hurry up, get you to rush. God has showed me in the last year, if you got to rush to get something done, it's not worth it. Because it takes a toll on your health. It takes a toll on your life. It really does. I've saw it, and it happened to me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, hallelujah, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I learned that on the job site in two different ways. I had a contrast. I had one situation contrast. The wrong way of doing it and the right way of doing it. And the wrong way of doing it, I'm not saved. This was before I was saved. I worked at a mobile home company. And I hope I don't... Yeah, there's the pen. Okay. I better pick it up. I don't want to step on it. I worked at a mobile home company. And my job at the time was I would... Cut lumber. I did a size of material down, 2x4s and 2x3s is what I was cutting up. And so I went to grab a load of 2x4s, and I'd pick up 12, 14, something like that. And sometimes the pallets of them would be stacked up high like this, where like I could not see what was on top. So I'd get like 2-3 rows, and I went and got it, and I didn't realize that there were some short boards on top. So when I came to haul away the 2-3 rows, that short piece, that whatever is about that length, fell and hit me in the back. And I can remember the first time I did it, I cussed.
No.
I mean, I just... And you know what? I had a rotten day. My back hurt me, and my attitude was awful. It was a lousy day. And I remember the same thing happened after I got saved. I'm here, I'm bubbling over when the Spirit... That same thing happened. I'm in a rush. I grab them. Same thing happened, same scenario. And this time, instead of cussing, I went, "Praise God! Praise God! I am healed. I am going in the strength of the Lord." And you know, I had the best day ever. God turned that situation around and just blessed me tremendously.
Amen.
Just by me confessing His word, by giving Him thanksgiving, by giving Him praise. That was a healing to me.
Amen.
A restoration right there. Absolutely. Praise God. And this morning, before I finally dropped off to sleep, I started singing that song. It's a new season.
Hallelujah.
That came in my spirit. And I started singing that. I started singing quietly so I wouldn't wake Kathy and the dog and the cat. So I wouldn't wake them up. And I started singing that, and then I dropped off to sweet, peaceful sleep. I just want, that's what I wanted to share this morning with you. That there's many different ways for healing.
Amen.
God has so many different things. I think we're going to see some of the greatest healings to ever take place. And it's not going to be who we are.
Amen.
It's going to be what He is to us, the great I Am.
Amen.
He wants to do this so much. All He wants is for us to place our eyes on Him, to place our hearts, our entire being in His hands.
Amen.
And then we're going to see. We're going to see. And we're going to lead others into that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.